God measures man by a standard divine, for he sees underneath every outward design. He looks past possessions and costly attire. He studies the heart, every thought and desire. For the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro. We have no secret that our God does not know. Our Father knows our thoughts. He understands every part. Man sees the outside, but God sees the heart. Our God does not judge how tall we may stand, or how much we possess, or the rank we command. His gaze goes far deeper to things that endure, to honor the man who keeps his heart pure. For the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro. We have no secret that our God does not know. Our Father knows the heart. He understands every part. For man sees the outside, but God sees the heart.
Thank you. Take our Bibles and go to Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5 this morning. We are here looking at this tremendous story of God's delivering his people from Egypt. And we understand the story of how they got there. Of course, Jacob, 12 sons, Joseph, goes sold into Egypt, into slavery, and he goes there and he works his way up. God elevated him to a position to where he could actually save his very own people. And God commissions Moses to go back, this is hundreds of years later, to go back and to deliver them from the bondage now that they are in under the Egyptians. And so I trust that you're very familiar with the story. We're here this year remembering some of the things that God has done so that we can apply them to our lives. Folks, can I tell you that God is still the same God? Same God. He never changed one bit. He's still in the same business. He's still in the deliverance business. He is delivering people every day from many, many things. And so, same God. Wow. Different time, different place, different people, but same God, and we can trust him in the very same way. And this morning, I want us to remember God's purpose in life, or remember even the challenges of life. Have you ever gone through challenges in life? I know the answer to that one. Who hasn't gone through a challenge, right? There have been different challenges. Some of you have gone through or are going through health challenges. They're difficult to go through. Some of you are going through financial or have gone through financial challenges in life. We always have challenges with other people and relationships, and there's always a challenge. Challenge with a loss of things, loss of possession, loss of people, loss of job, loss of, we struggle with loss. Challenges face us in life. They always have. They do now, and they always will. Challenges in life, but where is God in this? And does God have a purpose for it all? There was a man a long time ago that lived. He was a wealthy man. He was a godly man. He trusted the Lord. And there was a day when this man was, he and his family were really celebrating, just celebrating life, celebrating a good God. They got together and they ate and they fellowshiped. They just really had a lot to be thankful for, and they were just celebrating life. And it would be in the matter of a few moments that this family celebrating would lose everything. If I could say, this man would lose absolutely everything. You know, the day went from a feast with family to a life that was labeled famine. You understand who this individual is. His name is Job. Job. The story of Job, kind of a tragic story, yet can I say this? There was a bigger God behind this tragic story that was meaning for something a whole lot more and a whole lot better than what Job saw during his trials. That's what we're talking about today. Exodus chapter 5. Let's look at the first two verses and where we were at. Now remember, don't forget the story. I mean, God's people had been in bondage for 400 years, and now their deliverer has come to take them out, and they were getting ready to go into the wilderness to worship. They were going to head to the land of Canaan. They were excited because this was the end of all their struggles, and they recognized at the end of chapter 4, wait a second, God has shown up. God has brought his deliverer. Moses has come, and the people, the last verse of chapter 4, they recognized God's leader. They recognized the Lord had come. They were excited. They worshiped the Lord. Finally, they are going to be delivered. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh. By the way, before we move on, you know, honestly, with the Israelites, this, what they were at right now, as far as their traverse and ups and downs, they're at the top of the mountain. They've been down in a valley that's been tough. They have known it. Their fathers, their grandfathers, their great-grandfathers had known, four generations had known lots of struggles. Wasn't anything new to them. And now, kind of in a meeting, you know, Aaron and Moses walk into the camp, present themselves, give God's words, demonstrate God's power, and all of a sudden, the people, in just a matter of moments, have gone from the valley to the mountaintop. And they're excited. Have you ever been at that spot where you heard that good news and every negative thing in your life seemed to turn positive? It's exciting. Things are, you know, we've turned over a new leaf and now tremendous things. You know, you got that big check in the mail. You got that news from the doctor that there is no more. That relationship that was stressed now has been, you've met and it's been cleared. And now there's renewal. I mean, nothing could be better. There is a smile on our face, you know, a tune on our lips. There's hope for tomorrow. And afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh. I mean, think about what they're looking forward to right now. God's come to deliver. I want you to put yourself in these people's shoes. God's come to deliver. And here's the plan. I mean, it's very simple. Moses and Aaron are going to go to Pharaoh. I mean, Pharaoh's a tough guy. But God's got it all taken care of. God has shown up. And this is going to be, in fact, let's all get ready and get packed up. Right? Because God is going to deliver us. Let's get ready. And we're headed to Canaan. We're excited about all this. All we have left is a very quick meeting with Moses and Aaron and Pharaoh. And we're on our way out. And you can see how exciting that was because they had no thoughts of anything different. Why? Because God had shown up. I mean, it would be different if one of them just would have just kind of had an idea in his own mind. You know, I think this is a good day. You know, they got up that morning and the sun was shining for the first time in a couple weeks. Sound familiar? Ah, the sun shining. It's going to be, this next week is going to be tremendous. It's going to be good. There's good things on the horizon. Again, they're totally expecting they know how the day is going to go. Pharaoh is going to give his consent because God has shown up. This wasn't just words of a man. This was God's word. God had said something, and so there's going to be some good things. They were completely expecting God to deliver them that day. And for the third time, I start reading verse 1 of chapter 5. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." And I tell you what, that should have meant a lot, right? "Thus saith the Lord." When God speaks, "Thus saith the Lord," we ought to listen to it. And of course, Pharaoh's going to. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord?" Who is Jehovah? All caps, L-O-R-D, that's Jehovah. I am the same one that appeared to Moses in the bush. Pharaoh said, who is Jehovah or the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. The sunny day just ended with one word. I mean, he said in a roundabout way, what? No. What? Repeat that. No? You're saying no? God, wait a second. You just showed up and gave us your word. And the answer is no. I mean, these people are excited, fully expecting God to do some amazing things right now. And you can imagine that situation. You know, you have been told, you have been delivered, you have everything's going. All you have to do is just go into the office and submit your paperwork and you've got it. Have you ever been in a situation like that before? You thought everything was ready to go. All I have to do is do this and this and we'll be ready to go, and it doesn't happen. It kind of throws us for a little bit of a loop, doesn't it? So the answer was no. All of a sudden, everything has changed in their day. What do you do in a situation like this? What have you done? I want you to try to think of some situations in life where you thought everything was, I mean, you got the word, and then you went into, again, that office or that whatever, the doctor's office. You went home or you went into work that day, fully expecting, you know, you thought you were going to get a raise, and you showed up and you got a piece of paper that says that you're gone. What? And may I ask the question, why? Why would God do this or allow this? I mean, you have to think on this, on the people's level. They were people, weren't they? They were humans. And this didn't make sense to them. Why would God do this? And so what now? What next for these people? Folks, can I tell you that God was not surprised in Pharaoh's no whatsoever. God had his perfect plan completely under control. There was no surprise that Pharaoh said no. God has a purpose. You know, a verse very familiar to most of us, Romans chapter 8, we quote it how many times? It's probably one of the most quoted verses. I mean, there's more verses that we probably quote more, but Romans 8:28, we know that verse well, don't we? What does the verse say that we know? It doesn't suggest that we just it might. What do we know? Now, I have framed it so that there's a key word, and that's the word know, right? But I would suggest that there's just a couple words, two words, in fact, there's another key word. And we know that all. It's an important three-letter word. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. I'm reminded of the story of Joseph, and the brothers had sold him into slavery, into this Egypt that we're talking about right now. This was the entrance in. And remember, they were horrified at what would happen to them, because Joseph has found out that they did him so wrong, and he's alive. And this is a mistake. This is bad news. And what was Joseph's response in chapter 50 and verse 20 in Genesis? You remember what Joseph's mindset was? I mean, it's an amazing mindset. The brothers thought, he's going to kill us now that Dad's gone. This was a mistake. This is bad. And what is Joseph's response? In verse 20, he says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. And that was true, didn't they? Didn't the brothers think evil of Joseph? Did they do bad things to Joseph? Did he suffer through much? Yes. It was wrong. It was bad. There's no good. Really? But as for you, he says, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Folks, do you know that we have a good God that means everything all for good? Are there plenty of things happening in our lives that are not so good? What's the answer? Yes. Again, financial things, health things, social things, maybe even some struggles spiritually, and we think, how could this be? But God means all of them for good, and we've got to trust Him for that. He means it all for good. To bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. God had planned certain things so that He could get Joseph there, so that he could come and he could resurrect a plan to deliver God's people from the famine, so that he could deliver them, and so that he could show himself powerful and deliver them from Egypt and go to Canaan. That's a good God. Can I tell you this morning that God has a perfect plan and purpose in your life, and He does good in all that He does, in every single thing that He does. All right, so we can expect or accept that. All right, they expected to get the mother load. Well, it's not that bad that it just didn't come. I mean, they were no worse off than yesterday. I mean, yesterday they didn't know of any plan of deliverance. Yesterday they didn't have any deliverer on the scene before Moses and Aaron showed up. You know, okay, so I've got all excited about everything. I got all worked up about it and thought that this was going to happen. Pharaoh said no. All right, Monday morning, back to the grind. But at least I'm on the same plane, right? That's where they're at. And so we keep going, and we get up and we try again. And they said, this is verse 3, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest He fall upon us with pestilence or with a sword. Now I'm going to read a good number of verses here, and I just want you to follow. Follow. Now, in an illustration like this, you know, as I do this, okay, they were here, right? This is where the people were. Moses and Aaron showed up, God's word came, and where did they go? Pharaoh said no, and where did they go back down to? Right here, okay? This is where they're at. I want you to watch, listen, follow along as we read, and let's see where they go. They're going to hold on, and they're going to try it again. And the king of Egypt said unto them, this is verse 4, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works? Get you into your burdens. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. The taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get you straw where ye can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, and wherefore ye have not fulfilled your tasks in making brick, both yesterday and today as heretofore? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants. And they say to us, make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people. But he said, ye are idle, ye are idle. Therefore ye say, let us go and do sacrifices to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet shall ye deliver the tail of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case, after it was said, ye shall not diminish aught from your bricks of your daily task. Wow. They were here, right? I mean, they were not good. They were slaves. They had to do work. But they were manageable. Then God showed up and you got the news. Blessings coming. Blessings here. They saw it with their own eyes. They witnessed God's power and presence. And their conclusion was, the day has finally come. And no sooner did they get the word come out of their mouths, and Pharaoh said, no. And right then, they found themselves back on that same plane. Now in the next 16 verses, we have read what? Are they here anymore? Now they're where? They are down. What is going on, God? This is not right, nor is it fair. All things work together for good. Now, I'm telling you this, and you know most of you, if not all of you, know the end of the story. You probably even know where I'm going. But folks, can I tell you something? We can see the situation, but we end up in this situation often. We expect so good. And there's nothing wrong with that. We trust God. And yet we often find ourselves in a worse situation. We're excited about, you know, the project that we're going to start. And we get into it, and it's we had a situation at home, and I had to do some renovations to a bathroom this week. Took a lot of my time. and it's still taking a lot of my time. It's one of those things, guys, maybe the wives should relate with my wife, okay? This is the way it goes. And I remember we had a conversation before the project started. We always do. How long is it going to take? There's no way that it could go longer than a day. There's no way. The famous words, right? There's no way. But I even said this time, but I know better. So just count on it. It's going to take probably part of another day. 4 days into it. You know what? When we started, we were a little bit excited. Okay, we didn't want to have to do these things. We didn't want to have to do it. But okay, if we have to do it, okay, at least in the end, we're going to have a better situation, better bathroom, better this. You know, that's going to be a better thing. My parents are coming in on Wednesday. That's okay, let's do this. It's no more. We've got to get it done because there were some things that needed to be changed. And you're really excited, right? You know, God had provided the money for it. We're going to do this, and you're excited to get going in it. And before I hardly got into it, I mean, the first couple of minutes went really well. I was really excited. It was like, man, the demolition was amazing, you know? But as soon as we started, then all of a sudden, it wasn't so good. What am I going to do about that? Okay, let's try. You know, try to work and we got it, you know. That's the end of day one. At least we got that, you know. Dad, are you done? No, we're not done. Are we almost done? No, we're not almost done. You going to get it done tomorrow? I hope so. It's all true story. You can fact check it, okay? And every day, you know, proposed some new things, and every day finds me sitting down, doing more research. How do you do this? Wrong parts came in, don't fit. I don't see the right part. This is an old situation here. How do you do this? It's all stripped out. I can't get it out. You guys know the story. You've all done it 100 times. And you scratch your head and say, I don't know how to get out of this. And, you know, coming back to the to what we're talking about here, you started here and you went back down to here, and then you were, you know, you just wish that you were back. I wish I had the old for right now. I just wish I was back to start. You know what I'm saying? I wish I hadn't even started this. And in fact, I told my wife, I said, you know what, I shouldn't even have done this. That's not true, but you thought, I'm in a worse situation than when I started. I'll take it back. Isn't that what the people of Israel said? If we could just, and they haven't yet, but they're going to real soon. If we could just go back. But what are they missing, folks? I want you to get this. This is very simple this morning. Don't miss it. God is doing a perfect work. All things work together for good. God didn't just make a mistake. You know, when the wrong parts showed up, God wasn't like, what? Did God know what was inside that box? He did. He knew. He knew what was going on. He knew on day one what the project would entail. He knew every part of it. And I say, God, why didn't you stop me in the beginning? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you send me a message? I was doing better here. And now I'm down here. But honestly, that wasn't the end of the story. Look at verse 20. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. Now this is the officers back in verse 19 of the children of Israel. Okay, so this is not Aaron and Moses. This is some of the leadership below them. They met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, "The Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us." Do you kind of get the idea of what's being given there in verses 20 and 21? They started here. They went here. Then they went back to here. They immediately went way down. And then in another verse or two, they went even further. Now their own people are looking in. You know, now, and my wife didn't do this, but now the wife is saying, "What did you do? Why did you do this? What are you trying to do to our family? Now we're without a shower." We did get a shower, by the way. Praise the Lord, we have a second one. "What are you doing, husband? Why did you..." That's exactly what's going on here. I mean, think about Moses and Aaron. Poor guys, right? I mean, they were just doing what God told them to do. They thought they were heroes coming into the camp. Deliverance. And now they're... You say, "You guys, are you basically, you have brought the sword to us." What is God doing? And many of us have situations in life where we think we have expectations for some amazing thing. Why? Because God is so good and God is so big and He's got such a good plan. And why am I finding myself here? This is not right. God is not good. And for many of us, that's our final response, is God's not good with this. This was a mistake. Why would God allow this situation? Most of you know that I grew up out in the state of Wyoming on a cattle ranch out there. Worked in the oil field after we were married for a little while, and drove around the middle of nowhere. If you can picture nowhere, that's where I was. There's nothing out there except rattlesnakes and sagebrush and as much sky as you want to see. I worked out there, and I would drive every day about 100 miles, 50 out and 50 back. I would do work out there. I mean, it wasn't just there and back in one shot. It was kind of, there was like this, you know, just went around and made my way back. And that was about 100 miles every day. That's pretty much what I did. And I would go out there and do certain things. I'd kind of work on some of the oil wells, make sure that the production was up, and if there was a problem, fix it or find somebody else to fix it. There was a certain day that I went out, and my wife was very faithful at praying for me and for my protection. It would have made absolute sense that she would have prayed that day, "God, would you please keep Sean safe, keep him from that rattlesnake that could be there to get him," because there were rattlesnakes all over the place. Rattlesnakes, you had to watch. You'd go into the little buildings. They were hot buildings, and they loved to crawl up out of their holes and into those warm buildings where the compressors were, because it was, you know, it was hot in there, 120 degrees in there, 150 degrees. And they would just like to lay in there and scare you. At any given time, you never knew when. I always was on the lookout. You never just rushed into a building. You always looked everywhere because they were around, and I ran into plenty of them while I was out there. It would have made absolute sense that my wife that morning, and she might have prayed, "God, would you protect my husband from a rattlesnake?" For some reason, that day, my wife prayed, of all things, and you're going to think this is humorous, "God, would you please protect him from anything? And Lord, keep him from a bee that would sting him." And you say, "What?" It's more random than what you think. Because honestly, there were more rattlesnakes in Wyoming than bees. In fact, there's hardly any bees. Growing up, I didn't know what wasps and hornets and yellow jackets. I mean, the only bees that are there are little bumblebees when you occasionally find a flower. And it's occasionally. We didn't have them. I mean, I specifically remember seeing a bumblebee when I was young around this tree at my grandparents' house. I specifically remember that, seeing that bee. That's how rare it was. You say, I see bees around here all the time, you know, and wasps. And again, I know there's all these things that I'm still learning what they are because I didn't grow up in that. I didn't see, you don't see bees. I can remember the one that I saw. Why would Melissa that morning pray that God would keep me from getting stung by a bee? I went out that day and did all of my work, going into the compressor, checking to make sure that there were no rattlesnakes. When I went in, I set my hand in a certain place, and a bee stung me. And what's the first word that comes to our mind? Why? And I'll tell you, when I went home that day, I can't remember if I called her. It was probably a day before too much cell phone service. I don't remember what I had back then. But I remember when I told my wife, man, I didn't know she prayed that. I said, man, and I didn't respond. It wasn't a big deal, but I got stung that day and my finger somewhere, whatever. And I went in and she said, how's your day? You know, how did your day go? I said, oh, it went fine. I got stung by a bee. It was the first, I don't know that she ever prayed that before. Can I tell you that my wife struggled? And she had to fight against asking why. God, why would you do that? I was praying for blessing and I find myself exactly the opposite. My husband got stung by a bee, the only bee in Wyoming. And I will tell you that my wife struggled with that for a good while. Why, when I prayed for one thing, did, and I'm not saying she did wrong, but putting it in words to help you understand the dilemma, why, when I prayed for one thing, did you give me the opposite? Now, do you understand what we're talking about here? Do you understand the struggle? This is where the nation of Israel is at. God, why would you do this? That's mean. I mean, do you see why a human would say that? That's mean. That's a joke on me. Why would you do that? And it took years. It took years for Melissa to come to reality in what God was doing. Can I tell you, folks, that God knew exactly what he was doing? And you say, what? See, God had to bring my wife and myself to come to understanding that God can even work through a little tiny insect to show himself strong. It would later come in reality when another insect was used on her, little tiny deer tick that so graciously gave his line to her. And it was examining and looking, not literally, but thinking about that little tick and say, God, why? When he brought back the story of the bee. But to tell and to learn a valuable story that God can use anything to show his power to his people. Why? Because he loves you. You say, preacher, that doesn't sound like love. Oh, my friend, it is because there's more important things than bees, snakes, ticks. It's that we understand and come to know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. And it was through that that my wife come to learn that God can use even the littlest things to do amazing things in our lives. Folks, that's the perspective that we need to have. God works all things, everything, and it's not for bad, it's for good. He's going to do something good with it. He's doing it. He's got a plan. And one day we're going to be able to look back and we're going to be able to say why. You see, Melissa can look back now and she can tell you why. Because she needed to learn a lesson. She needed to see the power of God. She needed to come to understand. Was God being mean to her? No. He was absolutely loving her. He said, Melissa needed to learn another thing. It's like a test. None of us like to take tests, but tests are good for us. Because we take the test, they show us what we don't know so that we can learn it, so that we do know it, and now we're better equipped for the next test. God loves us. God cares for us, and He wants us to learn. He wants us to grow, and God allows things to come into our lives sometimes so that we can grow, so that we can learn. Did God have a perfect plan with the nation of Israel? Wouldn't it just been easier if they would have knocked on Pharaoh's door that day, said, "Hey, Pharaoh, God has come to us and told us that we're going to be delivered. Are you going to comply to that? Are you going to do that?" And He says, "I have no reason to keep you back. Have fun." It seems like it would have been easier. But what would it have been? Would, you know, go back to Melissa. Melissa prayed about the bee sting that day. Right? If I would not have been stung by a bee that day, do you think that she would have remembered it? No. But because I did, it's still on her mind this morning. My friends, God has a plan. And by the way, did He have a plan with Israel in Egypt? Really quickly, before we close, go back to Genesis 15. You know Genesis 15 is God's promise to Abraham. Here, Abram. God's promise of what, how He was going to do things. And it's interesting what God said, you know, kind of prophesying, if you could say, in the future of what's going to, you know, what's going to come. And by the way, this is just a little tiny taste of it. But Genesis 15, look at verses 12 to 16. This is a long time before this, is God speaking to Abram. "And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know for a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs," that's Egypt, "and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." You know what that, those verses are saying? Listen, I've got a better plan. There's going to be a lot of years of struggle, but I have got a better plan. In fact, when you leave, I'm going to allow you. Do you know, realize when they left, they basically could ask the Egyptians what they could have, and they said, "Here, take it all and go." Do you realize what God was doing? God was giving them all those things. He was preparing a way that they would say, "Here, take it and go." Not only that, but waiting for the Amorites. God had a plan. What God is telling us here is, I've got a better plan than you can imagine. Just trust me. I am doing this for your good. All things work together for good. My friend, I don't know what you're going through today, but you can know for sure. You can know for sure that every single little thing that's happening, God has the power to use that little thing, whether it's a tick, a bee, a snake, or or a no answer or whatever, and God can take it and use it, and he did. He demonstrated it right here. I'm going to allow Pharaoh to go ahead and say no, because I want you to leave with plunder. I want you to leave with bigger blessing. And I want people in 2024 to be able to go back to this and see how big and good of a God that I am. Do you know that he had you in mind that day when Pharaoh said no? He had you in mind. He says, you know, those people in 2024 of April, first Sunday in April, they need to see something. And it is our job to go back and to remember difficulties, knowing that God is doing something wonderful. You can trust that. God is good. God is good. I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. We get excited about certain things. We get the news. Money's coming in. We get the news that our health situation is getting better. Doctor gave us a good report. We went into work and we're told that we're going to get a raise or who knows, maybe the boss is happy with us now. We get excited about the future, and then all of a sudden it seems like the hammer of God comes down upon us and we find ourselves struggling. We compare ourselves with the Old Testament patriarch Job. And then if that wasn't enough, our friends come along and blame us and curse us. Our situation is worse than when we started. I wonder this morning as you're here, are you trusting in a good God that works all things together for good? Do you know that he is faithful? Do you know that he's going to come through? Do you know that you're going to end up in a better situation than when you started? God's got to teach us some lessons. He definitely taught Job some lessons. And Job, he went way down, but he ended up better than when he started. My friends, the answer is the same to us. We will end up better than when we started too, as we trust in a good God that loves us. Because the Word of God does tell us, and we know, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Father, I pray that we would recognize a good and powerful God right now, even maybe if we're in the midst of that valley time. That God, I'm going to choose to trust you. I'm going to choose to trust you through this. I want you to teach me, what do you have with this bee? What do you have with this tick? What do you have with this situation? God, I'm trusting you, though. You're going to do something good. Lord, may we have that attitude today. Knowing that in the end, you are going to do your work. You are going to deliver us. You are going to bring us into Canaan. God, may we trust you. May we trust you. Lord, we can do that when we get to know who you are. Recognize that we can just be still and know that you're God. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name.